on May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey, Eric here.
And Brittany.
And we got two things that we need to tell you before we get started with today's episode.
Mm-hmm.
One, Color Nerds is now coming out on Mondays.
Mondays.
Yes. So I know it was probably unclear what day we came out before.
Probably unclear as to whether the show was still in production or not. We did that to keep you guys on the edge of your seats and to test your dedication.
Yes. But now you can feel confident that two times a month.
Twice a month.
You will receive a brand new For Color Nerds episode on Mondays.
Yes.
And the second thing we got to talk about has to do with today's episode.
Has to do with today's episode. So today's episode, this is not a spoiler, is about the FX comedy Atlanta, starring and created by Donald Glover. So we actually recorded this episode before it won two Golden Globe Awards, one for Best Television Series, Musical or Comedy, and one for Best Actor in a Television Series, which went to Donald Glover. So, you know, congratulations to the entire Atlanta team. Like,
yes.
I feel like I do that little, what's it called?
Hunger Games salute.
They're an all black writing team. Like, you just have to.
Yeah.
We're proud of you guys. And, you know, I mean, Donald Glover thanked the Migos. For making Bad and Bougie. Like, that's real.
Yo, he brought the hood up with him.
Yeah, he really did. And, you know, so yeah, we didn't get to discuss that in the episode. But I think in light of recent news, I'd say that, like, this episode is even more of a must listen than usual.
Yes. Shouts out to them. That's not a spoiler alert. We like it. But yeah, enjoy the show.
Enjoy the show.
Hi, I'm Eric.
And I'm Brittany.
And we are
For Colored Nerds,
the conversations that black people have
when white people are not in the room.
But we record them
and we put them on the internet.
Happy New Year?
Yeah, sure.
I think it's about right.
It's a new year.
Yeah. You know, I don't know quite. I've never been New Year, new me.
In 2015, I actually was New Year, new me. But that's because, like, 2014 for me was a personal garbage dumpster fire. Actually, is the year that we started For Colored Nerds.
So it's about right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it is a new year.
Yeah. But, you know, 2016 was absolute.
The thing is, though, is that, like, I don't even like to buy into that doctrine because this year's going to be worse. Without a doubt. I can say that confidently today.
I can't argue.
Yeah. January 2017. I'm calling it right now. 2017 is going to be worse.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, the year that was.
But aside from the terribleness, let's go ahead and just jump in while we're here today.
All right, let's take a dive.
So, today's show is about a show that you almost have definitely at least heard about if you haven't seen it.
Yeah.
At this point. Yes.
The show
came out last year.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much anything we talk about at this point came out last year.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about Atlanta today.
Yes.
So Atlanta was one of, like, not just one of the best shows, but one of, like, the biggest shows. Like, it felt really impactful. A lot of people were talking about it to come out last year in 2016. But to me, I felt like most of the conversation around the show, basically, like, the conversation that happened off Twitter, right? So, like, things that had been written and essays and interviews. Like, I felt like that stuff came out either before the show came out or right when it came out.
I would agree.
Yeah, I think there have been a few think pieces out there, you know, based upon some standout episodes in the season. But I haven't really seen, you know, the kind of big conversation about the season as a whole, you know, that I personally was looking for, that I was craving, you could say.
Yeah.
And for me, the magic of Atlanta, like, I was excited about Atlanta, you know, when I found out Don Glover was going to have a show and, you know, it was going to be about Atlanta, something. Ostensibly something. But for me, like, the magic of Atlanta just totally crystallized after the season was over.
Totally. I mean, that's when you get to appreciate, like, looking at things like the club scene, the public access episode.
Oh, my God. Like, the really crazy Juneteenth episode,
yes,
that they had. And the episode that just focused on Van, like, the show's lead female character, just on her own.
Yeah. But, I mean, the great thing about us having a podcast, though, is we can go back and look at the show in hindsight.
You know, there may be some of you guys, although I feel like this has got to be a small group. For those of you who listen to For
of
Colored Nerds.
Yeah,
I was going to say, for those of you who listen to For Colored Nerds and have never heard of Atlanta, it's a half-hour comedy that is on FX that follows Earn, who's played by Donald Glover. He's an Ivy League dropout, and he ends up back in his hometown of Atlanta.
Surprise,
exactly. And he's struggling to support his on-again, off-again girlfriend, whose name is Van, and their baby daughter. So he sees an opportunity to manage his cousin, who is an up-and-coming local rapper, Paperboy.
Great name.
Paperboy, right? So Earn and Paperboy and Paperboy's best friend, Darius, who's an amazing character, start working to, like, get to Paperboy's, like, big break. So, you know, hijinks ensue and, you know, they have little adventures and stuff like that. But the show is just, like, so much deeper than this, like, description.
Yeah. Like, oh, my God. Like, it's just weird as hell in, like, all the best ways.
Yeah.
It's really, really different from anything else on TV. And actually pretty different from just most, like, television comedies,
yeah,
in general. Especially, like, black comedies.
Yeah.
And for, like, a lot of reasons, like, not least of which the fact that it has, like, an all-black cast and an all-black writing staff.
Which is really rare and, like, it shouldn't be.
Yeah, especially on, like, I mean, it's really rare on, like, a network like FX or, you know, as opposed to a network like OWN.
Yeah, <You know? laughs> exactly. So we're going to take a deep dive into this first season of Atlanta and draw some interesting
comparisons,
I think.
Yes.
So before we start any conversation on Atlanta, we kind of got to talk about the show's creator and star, a one Mr. Donald Glover.
Yes. Let's talk about it. I mean, I think before Atlanta, like, I feel like nobody really knew how to feel about Donald Glover.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
That's accurate.
He's had this, he's had a pretty, like, amazing career in terms of, like, the shifts that he went through. You know, he started out as this, like, bro-y YouTube sketch comedy guy. And then, like, he kind of found his shine on Community.
Yeah.
And then he's had this, like, evolving music career as Childish Gambino, like a name that he chose from a Wu-Tang rap name generator.
Yeah.
Because that's a thing that happens.
Which is like, that to me is a testament to his core corniness.
He's corny. He's a corny guy.
Yeah.
And like, even when his like music got better, he's still just been kind of like off.
Yeah. I mean, like for a while, it seemed like he was staking his claim on like being the kind of like black person that feels attacked when people tell you that you're talking white.
Yeah, exactly.
That was like his lane for a while. But he's like, he's making some moves.
Yeah. I mean, Atlanta has been like really, really good. And it's really surprising kind of coming from him.
Yeah.
And then he had like the really, like really good and black as hell album, Awaken My Love.
Very black.
Yeah. And so he's like, his star is like really like taking off.
Yeah. And he's making some really cool, it seems like, I mean, definitely creative transformations,
yeah,
and changes. And I would have to guess, judging by like the work that he's been putting out in the past year, he's probably gone through some like personal evolution as well.
Yeah. And like they recently announced he's going to play like Lando Calrissian in the new, like whatever the new Star Wars movie is going to be.
So one like every 8 months. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. And actually a few months ago, he was on Ellen promoting Star Wars when Atlanta came up.
I don't know if you've seen Atlanta yet, and if you have not seen the show Atlanta, it's you should see it because you created it, you write it, you direct it, you star in it, and it's so good, and there's so many funny little moments. You're really a funny person, but it's also heavy. It's kind of, you want to explain what it is?
I just wanted to make Twin Peaks with rappers, which was like, at the time, people were like, I don't know what that is. I was like, I get it.
There are two things that are like remarkable about this clip. One is Ellen now, stumbling to find the words to describe Atlanta. And two is when Ellen throws to Donald to, like, help her out, he chooses to describe Atlanta as Twin Peaks with rappers, which is interesting. In my mind, like, as soon as he said it, I heard, like, the sound of, like, white fanboys, their heads just, like, exploding everywhere.
Yeah. So for those of you who haven't seen Twin Peaks, it's kind of this, like, surrealist crime drama from the early 90s, and it was created by David Lynch. And it's set in the small mountain town of Twin Peaks, Washington, and it follows this guy who's an FBI agent named Dale Cooper as he investigates the brutal murder of the town's homecoming queen, whose name is Laura Palmer. So, you know, the plot kind of sounds like an episode of like SVU or like kind of like a noirish thriller. But, you know, because it's from David Lynch, it's...
Who's awesome.
Yeah, who's awesome, but so weird. Twin Peaks is so weird because of David Lynch. If you're not familiar with David Lynch, just like, I mean, literally just watch anything the man has ever made, and you'll get it within about 90 seconds. So the show's just like, it's kind of got this somewhat straightforward plot, but it's just like so weird. But also, this is like a show that's like universally like loved. Like, it came in at number 17 on Rolling Stone's 100 best TV shows of all time list. Like, this is like the definition of a cult classic. Like, this is the kind of show that people write their dissertations about.
Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of show that like people sit in a room with a lot of weed and you lose 6 hours talking about, you know?
Yeah. But it's also, it's really good. Like, I give it like a For Colored Nerds, speaking for both of us, I think right now, like a stamp of recommendation.
Totally. I think you'll love it. And like, I mean, based on these characterizations, like describing Atlanta as Twin Peaks with rappers could sound a little off, a little provocative, if you will.
Yeah, a little provocative.
But and honestly, like every creator always wants to compare their show to Twin Peaks. Well, a lot of white creators want to compare their show to Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
I mean, and almost every time that connection never really holds water. But like, interestingly enough, I think this is one that fits.
No, I 100% agree. Like when you actually like pointed me to that Ellen clip, I was like, I see the connection. Like I was like, I see no problem with this.
That's fair. That'll stand.
So we are going to take a deeper look at both shows, Atlanta and Twin Peaks, to show why we think the moniker Twin Peaks with rappers is the best possible description for Atlanta. So we're going to look at how both shows play with like tone, plot, cinematography, and each of their respective locations with, I guess, like the end result of both shows being something that like nobody asked for. But I think that, you know, this is media that we all need.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would agree. It's art.
It's art. I mean, and as we're staring down these very dark days and we are in the dead of winter,
I'll use something like that.
Yeah, we could use something like that. Like, we need it. It's time.
So let's do it.
Let's get cracking.
So, I mean, it kind of goes back to like this Ellen interview that we were talking about. Like, Ellen was really, really struggling to get out. She was just like, yeah, like she knew it was good. And a lot of people have known that Atlanta is really good.
Yeah.
But they really kind of struggled to nail down like how to talk about it. Is it comedy drama?
Yeah.
Is it like surrealist?
Yeah. I've been seeing people describe it as a dramedy, which is painful.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's quite an apt description.
Yeah. I mean, some people describe Parenthood as a dramedy. Like,
oh, okay.
Well, or
yeah,
like,
actually, no, mostly I just think of that as a cry fest. But it's true. I used to watch it every week and cry. But like, yeah, like a dramedy to me is like, rescue me. Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
That's sort of, which I think actually also came on FX. But like, that's sort of what I think of when I think of a dramedy. Like, I think of like, there's a central dramatic element, mm-hmm. but then there are a lot of little funny things that happen around it, where this to me has like, almost like a central neutral element. Like, Earn wanting to become his cousin's like rap career manager. It's like not necessarily dramatic.
Yeah.
I don't know, you feel like there are high stakes for Earn. But overall, like, the plot of the show, with especially, like, how Paperboy does not become famous throughout the entire season, it kind of has this nice, like, low-simmering, low-stakes feel to it that I kind of like.
Yeah, like, in most comedies, so if you think about, like, something with a similar plot, like, mm-hmm. like Entourage, for example,
yeah.
the fact that Vinny Chase in Entourage is already kind of, like, on this steep kind of incline in terms of his popularity.
Yeah.
It, like, turns up the comedy element so much because now you have this person who's, like, famous. You know, they've got all this money.
Yeah.
They're, like, living their dreams. It's easy to go with that in terms of the comedy element of mm-hmm. this. But with this, like, other than the fact that, like, Paperboy has, like, this one hit single, he has none of the classic trappings of, like, a famous rapper.
No.
No, he lives in the same apartment he did before.
Yeah.
He has his same job. Drug dealing.
Yes, that he did before.
Exactly. And, like, there's not much, you know, like, they do a club appearance and, you know, they only get, like, two bottles.
Exactly. Because Earn is like, we got to save our money.
Exactly.
Which is not necessarily, like, a traditional comedic or, like, dramatic choice. Do you yeah. know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, granted, situationally, it's funny. It's, like, funny to see, like, an up-and-coming rapper at the club looking uncool because he only has, like, two bottles of champagne for what you would assume is maybe a 4 to 6 hour evening, right?
Yeah.
Like, that is situationally funny. But, like, having the main character be the person to be like, we need to save our money. You can only have two bottles. That's just so, like, it's not high drama. It's not, like, these extreme hijinks. It's just kind of closer to real life.
Yeah.
Which makes it, to me, even more funny.
Yeah. Most of the drama kind of comes from, like, I think two places. One, the situational aspects of it. Like, I mean, there is a police shooting. They kind of flirt with death, mm-hmm. like, a few times in terms of, like, meeting other people throughout Atlanta.
Yeah.
And, like, those are kind of, in some cases, played up for, like, the drama of it all. It's, like, really intense.
Yeah.
But they're often fleeting moments.
Yeah.
So that you don't really have a chance to, like, linger in those, mm-hmm. like, in those dramatic emotions very long.
Yeah.
And I actually think, like, that's one of the places where, coming back to Twin Peaks, that relationship is really clear. Like, Twin Peaks is, again, like you said, it's, like, kind of, like, has this noirish feel.
Mm-hmm.
But you never get to sit in that for any significant amount of time.
Yeah.
Like, there's always something that kind of breaks up the action.
Yeah.
Or, like, breaks up how you think you're supposed to feel in any given moment. So sometimes even the way characters play up the dramatic scenes
mm-hmm.
takes you out of the drama of it all.
Yeah, it almost, like, so many parts of Twin Peaks were kind of campy in a way that you couldn't necessarily take a scene that seriously. So it was, like, almost like sometimes I think the scarier a certain scene was supposed to be, they played the camp up, which kind of, like, then that dissonance just kind of, like, had you off kilter the entire time as a viewer. And that is kind of how it is about Atlanta. Like, one of the things that actually I like about the way that they do violence on the show is that when you maybe live in a neighborhood like Paperboy's or like Earn's, violence is kind of like, it's present enough that you're going to come across it. Do you yeah. know what I mean? But it's also not like every single second is like Boys in the Hood.
Exactly.
And that's yeah. one of the things that I kind of like. Again, it's like, it's something kind of closer to real life, but there are these weird moments of like surrealism. Like, I remember when Darius meets Paperboy when he like bails him out of jail, and then they go to a restaurant and they pick up, you know, some wings or whatever, and the guy behind the counter realizes that Paperboy is like the person who's sitting in front of him.
Yeah.
Paperboy's the customer, and Paperboy just shot somebody, so Paperboy has like some elevated status now in the community.
Yeah.
So he gives him lemon pepper wet wings.
Hey, yo, my boy hooked you up. He made you the lemon pepper joints, but these got the sauce on them.
Oh, snap. Lemon pepper wet?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, man.
Hey, yo, keep doing your thing, man. All right? You're one of the last real rappers.
Okay, so you kind of have some idea that this shooting happened. You know that, like, Earn's photo and Paperboy's photo was on the news. You know that, like, Earn is still in jail and Paperboy just got out. You know that there's something dramatic that's gone, like, that's happening. And you just saw Earn sitting in jail going through something completely insane and oftentimes painful. There were a lot of moments of that episode that really struck a deep chord with me. But then you have this, like, insane scene where you have Darius and Paperboy opening up this box of the lemon pepper wet wings. And it's like glowing. You see like a little sheen on their faces. And it reminds me of these random pie references that you see Dale Cooper give throughout all of Twin Peaks.
Can I get you anything to go with that, Sheriff?
Agent Cooper here might want to try a slice of that pie.
A cherry pie?
Best in the Tri-Counties.
Maybe, you know, in the previous episode, we've just discovered that Laura Palmer, spoiler alert, was like moonlighting, you know what I'm saying, at this like brothel that was servicing a lot of powerful men in town.
Yeah.
And then like, you know what I'm saying, like the second scene of the next episode is like Dale Cooper eating some cherry pie.
Yeah.
He can't believe how delicious it is. He's grinning. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And you just, you never quite know your place. And so there's like the tonal aspects of not being able to sit with any emotion. But then there's also the fact that the shows are both just also really weird.
Weird shit happens.
Weird, surrealist shit happens all the time. And it's played up in this way where you don't really know how you're supposed to process what's just happening.
Yes.
So, for example, like, there's a scene where Paperboy and Darius are talking about, like, Instagram. And he's like, yo, did you see that cat with the invisible car? And Paperboy's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Invisible car. And so he pulls up Instagram and shows him all these pictures of this guy like leaning where a car should be, but there's no car there. And, you know, and Paperboy's just like, oh, what the fuck? And they keep moving, like not lingering on that point.
Uh-huh.
And so you're like, oh, well, maybe this guy, like maybe this guy was just fucking around. There's no actual car there. And then again, spoiler alert. And then in the last scene of the episode, they're like leaving the club and someone just starts shooting at the club. And this guy is riding through on what looks like an invisible car.
Yeah.
And hits somebody. And you're like, oh, fuck, wait. This
how?
Yeah,
like how?
And the episode just fucking ends. And you have no barometer for whether or not you're like, wait, was that guy,
Right. Like, are we all supposed to acknowledge this as like an invisible car? Is this like, that was the end of the episode and they didn't pick it up in the next episode?
Yeah. That's just, I mean, those are the types of surreal things that just kind of happen. And you see kind of the same thing. Well, you see exactly the same thing with Twin Peaks. Like there's episodes where they're at like a town hall meeting and Dale Cooper, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he is. And so Dale Cooper is like talking with the local sheriff about just all the people in the town. He's like introducing him. And he's like, oh, well, this is this person. She runs the like paper mill.
Uh-huh.
This is that person. He's important in the town. And Dale Cooper goes, well, who's that lady with the log? And they like cut to this woman who's like standing right by the door petting a log. And the sheriff just turns to him. He goes, oh, that's Log Lady. And then they keep moving to something completely different.
Exactly.
And don't really come back to it. I mean, Log Lady becomes important later in the series.
True.
But at that particular moment, it's just like, that's just a thing.
Right.
That's who it is.
My log has something to tell you. Do you know it?
I don't believe we've been introduced.
I do not introduce the log. Can you hear it?
And also kind of play with this idea that I think that both Atlanta and Twin Peaks both like perfectly conceptualize, which is like the dichotomy between like the mundane and the extreme.
Yes.
So like this one episode of Atlanta where Darius and Paperboy go out into the woods, like far out in nature to go do this drug deal with this group of guys. But the people who are playing the guys that they're doing the drug deal with, they don't necessarily announce it in the episode, but as the viewer, you recognize them as some well-known rappers.
Yeah, Migos.
Right? Migos, right? And then there's like all of, there's this weird sequence where they like pull this guy out from underneath a truck and then like he's not wearing any clothes and they're humiliating him and then they let him get dressed and then they like let him like, they're holding him this entire time at gunpoint because obviously he's done something that they didn't like.
Yeah.
And then they like give him, I don't know, like a 10, 15 second head start. They let him run off into the woods and then they just bang, bang, shoot him down.
But in that, like, and in those moments, you feel legitimate like terror.
Yeah. No. Like it's really, really creepy. But then like, you know, this is all happening outside of an RV. And then like after the, like Darius and Paperboy see this guy get shot down, they're invited by Migos into this RV to sit down and actually do the drug deal and actually like talk business. And then that conversation just becomes so hilarious that it's so absurd that it's hilarious. And then even that is intercut with like Earn out on a date with his girlfriend, Van, $20 short on the bill, needing to have needing to have his cousin like, you know, transfer him $20 so that he can pay for dinner. Like everybody kind of knows what it feels like to be someplace and be like, like, even if you could cover the bill, you're like, I guess I'm walking tomorrow. Yeah,
like, I don't have this.
Right. You're like, I really don't have this. Like, everyone knows what that feels like. Not everybody knows what it feels like to be sitting in an RV in the middle of the woods outside of Atlanta, like doing a drug deal with Migos who are playing drug dealers.
Yeah.
But just sort of like having those two moments together and showing you that like Earn and Paperboy kind of do on some level occupy two separate worlds, but those things overlap and they're so close all of the time.
Hey, man, my bad for all them guns, man. You know, we had to make sure you were straight. We heard some weird shit about you, man.
Hey, sorry I'm late. Paperboy, right? I'll fuck with that poster mixtape.
All right, man. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, who that?
That's my cousin Tangeray. I told you we rap now, right?
No, word.
Yeah, he good, but he talks a lot. You know, he crazy. But anyway, let's settle this deal. Let's get it handled.
Okay. Well, it's in the briefcase, but I left the key at home. So, kind of stuck.
We can solve that.
It kind of just reminds you of like how close your everyday life is to some really fucking weird shit.
Yeah. Or really terrible shit.
Yeah.
You know, and especially I think that comes back to like the living in Atlanta piece of it. You know what I'm saying? Like life can go left real quick.
Yeah.
You know,
life coming at you fast. It makes me think of another way that these shows are connected. I think that's like the way that they play with the plot.
Twin Peaks really probably changed the game in a way with how they do this, because as we described it, it's this detective. He's coming to like this weird town trying to solve this murder. But the importance of him solving that murder really kind of shifts to the background as the season goes on. And you just are kind of lingering with all these people in this weird place with all these weird motivations.
Yeah.
For a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, these are old school seasons. It's a lot of episodes. It's like 22 episodes. You know, and there's a lot of just kind of chilling and getting to know the various people in town.
Yeah, like whether or not he actually solves the murder just becomes less and less important to you over time. And also, you kind of get signals as a viewer that like, you may not ever find out.
Yeah, that's not the point.
And you got to deal with that.
Yeah. You think like, oh, Earn is going to be this serious manager trying to like make moves, and he's going to help push him into the into this next level of his career of being like a popular rapper.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really work out that way.
No, it doesn't work out that way. That's not the focus of every episode. And also, too, there are a lot of major questions that get opened up that never really get resolved. Like, you never really figure out where Van and Earn's relationship really rests. You don't actually find out like how Earn ended up in this position in the first place. How Earn went from Princeton
to back in Atlanta.
To back in Atlanta trying to manage his cousin as a rapper. His cousin don't even trust him to follow through on stuff. It doesn't even pay him until the last episode.
Yeah.
Like, there's no success happening in this. And there's not really a lot of forward advancement in any of, like, the major plot points that are set out in the first episode.
Yeah. You also don't see a lot of the actual work of, like, Earn being a manager.
Yeah.
Like, they just end up in situations that, in theory, Earn has negotiated.
Yeah.
But you don't really see any of that. It also plays into the fact that you don't know if Earn is good at this.
We never see Paperboy actually record any music.
Yeah. He's supposed to be a musician. This is what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't matter, though.
Yeah. All you see is the meantime in between time.
Yeah.
And they also, like, something that I actually think is really interesting, you don't really know what your vantage point is as the viewer. There's an episode that just focuses on Earn's, you know, on-again, off-again girlfriend, Van.
Yeah.
And it's like, you get so much insight into who Van is. You get to see Van in moments without Earn present that don't even necessarily get returned to. It seems like those moments are just for the audience to be, like, let into her world.
Mm-hmm.
And these are not things that necessarily go back and serve his original plot.
Yeah. But to me, like, if you think about it, and this was something like Twin Peaks kind of picked up on, like, having a plot that's pretty fluid in its importance allows you to really focus on character in a way that's like really fresh and really fun.
Yeah.
Like, there are so many small characters in Twin Peaks who you really just get to know and that you really enjoy every time that they pop up. And Atlanta is kind of like that, too. Like, you don't get to spend too much time with any one character, so that when you do get a significant amount of time with any character, like Van, you really appreciate it. Like, Van's character, as you go through the first early parts of the season, you're like, I understand her motivations. I get it. She seems like a cool character and an interesting foil to kind of, like, push Earn into the direction he needs to get his shit together.
Yeah.
But then when you have this episode with her, you know, you really like, man, like, she's trying to do all these things. So, you know, she's trying to be, a young adult.
Yeah.
She's trying to be a mother. She's trying to, like,
see if she can make this relationship with her, you know, child's father work.
Yeah. And she also is just, like, going through, like, shit at her job, having her own adventures. And so that when she pops back up later in the series, after spending, like, so much time with her, you give a shit. You're like, fuck, man. Like, there's a scene towards the end in the Juneteenth episode where they're having a little bit of relationship, like, drama. And in that moment, you're really rooting for both characters. You want Earn to get his shit together, and you want Van to get this validation in their relationship that Earn doesn't realize needs to exist.
Hey. Hey. What's wrong?
You're mean.
Sorry.
Don't be. I'm getting drunk.
I find it to be a really refreshing way to look at a couple in that type of television setup. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you think about, I've seen, like, a piece in Vulture where they compared, they said that, like, Atlanta is more like Louis with rappers. Mm-hmm. But, like, Louis still happens from Louis's point of view.
Yeah.
That he does have a lot of really interesting female partners that come through the show. But still, everything, you are pretty much based in Louis's point of view. Your investment in his relationship with his, like, female partners throughout the series, it really comes from, how do you see this person, like, changing Louis's life? Like, how do you see this person working in service of the main character? But, like, to see, like you said, like, you just get this different kind of investment in their relationship when you know so much about Van. Yeah. And also, not only that, so much about Van outside of being, like, a put-upon mother. Like, you see a lot about Van as, like, you know, who she is as a woman. You see her having a conversation with just a friend of hers from college. You see, like, who she is as a woman, who she is as a friend. You get some idea of the person that she maybe used to be and maybe who she always thought she would be. And that is, to me, a pretty remarkable example of, like, just going in depth on a female character who's, like, the love interest of a lead. It's pretty unusual to see, a love interest be given that type of voice and to be given that type of clarity.
And it's especially, like, rare to see that happen with a Black character and a Black woman. Like, you know, like, so many of the, like, shows that I think about, think of, like, popular Black TV shows.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, unless it is,
like, Girlfriends, which is all female centered. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or, like,
unless that central character is a woman, or one of the two, like, central characters is a woman, you don't get those opportunities. Like, you know a lot about Cookie from Empire because, like, basically, like, one, Taraji P. Henson is amazing.
Yeah.
And she has been able to push Cookie as, like, basically, you know, just up there with Terrence Howard as the lead.
Yeah.
So now she gets fleshed out really, really, really well.
Yeah.
Right?
It's interesting that you bring up Cookie because, like, part of why she's so central to the plot, obviously, I always got the sense from watching the show that Cookie was supposed to be a lead character, but she's also a matriarch. It's very interesting to see, matriarchs, I think they do tend to get a decent amount of screen time because they sort of occupy a specific place in a family and they have a specific relationship. And, like, Van is a mother, but Van is a mother of a character who doesn't really speak on the show. And her main relationship to Earn that you really see comes from, like, their partnership and their co-parenting, like, relationship. And it has less to do with her being, like, a mother of an active character in the story. Like, she... Like, it's true. It really is rare to see a Black woman so young whose main function is to be the lead character's love interest get that kind of screen time. It is rare.
Like, in addition to the screen time, that sort of care. Mm-hmm. Like, it's clear that the writers really care about her character and what she deserves and, like, what she will be.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of, like, it's this, like, really interesting thing that only really can come about because they give less of a shit about the overall plot of
yeah.
the show.
Yeah.
You know, like you, otherwise you would think like with what, 10 episodes?
Yeah.
That there's no time. There's no time for that.
Exactly. Exactly. But they sort of like decided to let like the end point of Alfred becoming famous, the end point of Paperboy blowing up, they decided to let that end point sort of hang in the balance, much like how things move in real life. It's actually, it's like, it's really, 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 really refreshing, I think.
Yeah.
So actually, I think this is a good spot for us to take a break.
Let's do it.
Let's pay some bills.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans. That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
So we're talking about Atlanta.
And Twin Peaks.
And Twin Peaks.
Yes. Another example is something that I find extremely rare in Black characters, especially characterized on comedies, is just how beautifully the show is shot.
Yeah.
Like there are, one of the co-creators and the person who directed, I think, at least the first few episodes was Hiro Murai, who is a, I don't know if you, even if you don't know his name, there's a good chance that you've seen some of his music videos. He did, was it Gold by Chet Faker, a single shot of three women, like basically roller skating downhill for like the entirety of a song. You're yeah. watching it the entire time, like, how the fuck did you do this? He's directed quite a few of Childish Gambino's music videos. And he also did one of my personal favorites, Never Gonna Catch Me by Flying Lotus featuring Kendrick Lamar. If you haven't seen that video, like, you just must watch it today. You're absolutely gonna bawl. But even though he is like this Japanese guy, yeah. like, he does such a beautiful job shooting Black people. And even though like different episodes are taken over by different directors, you get the sense that there's a strong visual style that like Hiro has brought to the show that is meant to be recreated throughout the entire series.
Totally, totally. And I mean, I think this is also a good example of something that, like, Twin Peaks also kind of did mm-hmm. really, really well. Like, David Lynch, I mean, say what you will about, like, you know, like, the in terms of how he plays with, like, plot and his writing and, like, the campiness that he evokes in his performances. But, like, anything that he shoots looks amazing.
Yeah, Twin Peaks was really unusual to me, at least looking back, in that it was so cinematically shot for yeah. a network television show. Like, in my at-home laptop, I have plenty of screenshots of just Audrey Horne, the character alone from Twin Peaks, because there's so much richness in the visuals, and you definitely see a lot of that in Atlanta.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right. There's this like defining aesthetic that like Hiro Murai mm-hmm. Really has like set forth with Atlanta, and it's clear that it was developed in conjunction with, I mean, with Donald.
Yeah,
but like he understands that like And again, I think it kind of comes back a little bit to the plot being less of the point.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's clear that they're taking time to, like, do something cool and then make it look amazing.
Yes.
You know, and that's from the location scouting. Like you said, there's a lot of, like, nature in this. And,
yeah.
And that, like, there's a contrast between the greenery and the actual action that's happening within these settings.
Yeah.
So
they ain't out in the hoods to, like, they ain't out in the woods to hike.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, they're not camping.
No, they're not camping.
Like, they have actual reasons for being there that they have less to do with nature. But it creates this, like, really, really cool visual contrast between, like, how you're supposed to feel the emotions that are happening as you watch the show, in addition to how you actually, like, understand the plot. I think a great example of this is there's an episode where basically Earn and Darius, who again is like Alfred or Paperboy's best friend.
Yeah.
They basically just go on an adventure.
Yes.
Trying to like scam and hustle into more money for Earn.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, because you almost need to understand this shit because it's kind of amazing. So like they start out with like Earn needing some cash and Darius being like, okay, I got you. You should buy a samurai sword.
Yes.
Or a katana.
Yes. They basically like they buy a katana and then they like beg, barter, and somehow end up with like a dog for breeding.
Yeah. Because eventually breeding dogs will bring in more money.
Yes.
And so at the end of this, like at the end of this adventure, and you were wondering the whole time where the hell it's going to go.
Yeah.
Earn is like basically breaking down because he thought he was going to have at the end, like this was all going to add up to some more immediate money.
Like cash in hand at the end of the day.
Yeah. And Darius is like, well, you didn't say that.
So he's like, oh, yeah. But, you know, come spring or what, come a few months from now, like once this dog breeds with another dog like this. I mean, you're going to have, like, a few thousand dollars easy. It's like, what?
Yeah. And so that there's this, like, really weird tension. And it turns into this beautiful conversation that also happens outside of a barn.
Yeah.
And, like, they're just, like, sitting on this car in this very lush, with a barn in the back. And they just talk about themselves, about what they're trying to achieve. And you can see they're, like, that's where their friendship develops.
Yeah.
You all right, bro?
No, I'm actually kind of fucked. Van needed that money. My daughter needed that money, okay? Not in September, but today. Okay, see, I'm poor, Darius, okay? And poor people don't have time for investments because poor people are too busy trying not to be poor, okay? I need to eat today, not in September.
Bro, I asked you at the pawn shop if you needed the money to take the money. You said you wanted more money, so I got you more money. Look, here, trade this in.
No, it's cool, man.
No, it's fine.
I'm just stressed. I got a lot going on.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I get a new one every month. Make sure they ain't tracking me.
Thank you.
We're friends now.
That again, that contrast between this moment that could have happened anywhere, but it happening in the outdoors, in nature, in this beautiful setting,
yeah,
like really allows that moment to breathe.
Yeah,
it's like it's pretty quiet, so you focus on it in a way that is like very nice, and you just feel like this is like going somewhere pleasant.
Yeah, and also too, like I don't have any family in Atlanta right now, but my aunt, my dad's sister, she lived there for like 20, 25 years. So a lot of like my young life was spent going to Atlanta to visit her. And one of the things that a lot of Atlantans said, I remember them saying when I was down there all the time, was this like, you know, Atlanta is a city of trees. Atlanta is a city of trees. And when I was first learning how to drive, like my uncle would take me driving around Atlanta and stuff like that. And it's true, like there were more trees in Atlanta than I noticed necessarily in Detroit. You know what I'm saying? I've seen more trees in Atlanta than I've seen in D.C. and certainly in New York. It's almost like, you know, as the writing team is all Black, but also a lot of the writing team are Atlanta natives. And that was it's almost like you felt like they pulled out one of the city's best kept secrets and have decided to just basically like beautifully exploit that at a lot of really important junctures in, you know, in like, I guess, like the different plot lines of the characters. It's unexpected. It's really beautiful. And it actually reminds me of like the photography of, have you ever seen the photography of Naima Green?
Mm-mm.
There's like, she does these really beautiful portraits of just Black folks like you and I, like young Black people, a lot of times seems like our friends, some people that we've had on the show before too, certainly, like Kim Drew. And she just takes pictures of them in their regular clothes as they would always look in nature, just among trees. And it's absolutely gorgeous. And it, like, it's, to me, like, her photography in Atlanta do the same thing. They sort of, like, play with people's ideas of where you think you're supposed to see Black people without only speaking to white people. Like, the way it's depicted is so beautiful that it feels to me like it's for us. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it's trying to prove anything to a white audience. And that I find to be like, that to me feel like, that makes me feel even better about watching the show.
That tees up like this last way that I think Atlanta and Twin Peaks intersect. The actual like location feeling like a character.
Mm.
Twin Peaks, like, literally, I mean, it's in the title. Like, you really, really get to know this town.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a paper mill town. They make a point of pointing out the trees. You know that they're firs. And, like, they're this really, like, they're these really beautiful trees. And, like, they focus on that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you understand there's all these, like, winding roads.
Yeah.
where the action might happen.
Diane, 11:30 a.m., February 24th. Entering the town of Twin Peaks, 5 miles south of the Canadian border, 12 miles west of the state line. Never seen so many trees in my life. As W.C. Fields would say, I'd rather be here than Philadelphia.
They take great pains to make sure that you know that the town itself is important.
Yeah.
I feel that just as much in Atlanta. Your perception of Atlanta, or even white people's perception of Atlanta,
yeah,
you know, might be informed in this very specific way, especially if you're thinking about like rappers, uh-huh, right?
Yeah.
You know, you think about the trap.
Yeah.
You think about the trap, probably some projects, you know what I'm saying? Like, if not like a real hood neighborhood,
yeah,
like urban quote unquote,
yeah,
neighborhood.
Meet me in the trap, it's going down. Meet me in the mall, it's going down. Meet me in the club, it's going down. Anywhere you meet me.
And that's where you might have seen this entire like series taking place until they quote unquote reach a new level.
Yeah.
But you would be very, very fucking wrong.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, like they're going all over this city. They're going in the woods. They're going to like a barn or a farm where people, you know, are apparently breeding pit bull dogs.
Yeah.
And are willing to sell them for a sword.
Yes.
You know,
they go to the club. They go to jail.
You get a feeling that Atlanta itself is important.
No, and you start to feel a certain intimacy with the city of Atlanta. Like, you know, it just reminds you sort of that just because a city, you know, can seem bigger than life like Atlanta and can be, you know, very storied. There are a lot of really interesting like narratives that we've been given out of Atlanta throughout the media, whether it be from like Real Housewives or whether, yeah, it be like via shit. T.I.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we're given a lot of different ideas of what Atlanta is, but I feel like I have been intimately brought through how a native knows the city to be.
And it doesn't even matter, like, the location specifically. It also is kind of the, like, the action that happens within it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think about the celebrity, you actually brought this up to me before.
Oh, yeah.
The celebrity basketball, like, there's an episode that happens at the celebrity basketball game. And
Paperboy actually became famous enough to be featured as a celebrity.
He's playing, but
yeah,
he's clearly also on this like lower tier.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's clearly not the guy there.
No, he's not the
draw. The draw is, oddly enough, Justin Bieber.
Yes.
Who is played by a Black actor.
Yes. Yes.
And again, going back to this like surrealist like point, like that's never addressed.
No, it's never addressed. There's no nod to the fact that Justin Bieber is a Black man in this episode at all.
This is me. This is the real Justin. I'm not a bad guy. I actually love Christ. I guess I've just been hanging out with the wrong people. Which is why I want to sing this new single for my upcoming album, Justice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, this celebrity basketball tournament with all these, like, I hate to call them, like, B celebrities.
I hate to do it, too, but I actually would, I would maybe go a couple steps lower.
Like, maybe C or D?
Maybe C or D. Lil Zane, I had a crush on Lil Zane. For those of you who don't know, Lil Zane is a rapper who was kind of popular in the late 1990s, early 2000s.
So he was on the single Anywhere from 112, which like blew up everywhere. And, yes. You know, they needed like a rap feature.
Yes.
And so you see this like skinny little black dude with a wife beater pop out.
Yes, they didn't call him Lil Zane for nothing. He was tiny.
And like deliver this fire verse.
We can do it anywhere. It's too hot to stop.
But after that, I don't know where Lil Zane went.
I think Lil Zane had a song that may have been on either the Dr. Dolittle or Dr. Dolittle 2 soundtrack. And since then, actually, I didn't see Lil Zane again until he was on the celebrity basketball tournament episode of Atlanta. But like, that's such an Atlanta thing.
Yeah.
Like, it's such an Atlanta thing to have a celebrity basketball tournament featuring, like, up-and-coming rapper Paperboy, somebody who's super famous, like Justin Bieber or whoever else.
Yeah.
And then, like, these people who didn't ever really get that famous, and maybe people in Atlanta are showing them a lot of love, but, like, other than that, like, you haven't seen or heard from these people. They haven't said boo in 15, 20 years.
Yeah, and it makes sense in this area because, like, one, Atlanta, like, is sitting on a ridiculous amount of black talent.
Yes.
That probably has just aged out of their, like,
yes,
like normal, like, popularity. And they're just living in Atlanta because it's a cheap place to live well.
It is. These are all really super Atlanta things, but these are all really super black things that even people from Atlanta can look at and be like, oh, yeah, I've probably attended an event like this before. Yeah.
Or even just the strip club as a normal place that
yeah.
you go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they went to the strip club and it wasn't like, ah, I'm about to ball out at the strip club.
Yeah.
Like, no, they went to the strip club because that's a place that people in Atlanta go because they have really good strip clubs. That's a very Atlanta like thing, just
yeah.
going to the strip club.
Yeah.
And I've tried to explain that to other people because like Memphis was kind of like that for like a hot second.
Uh-huh. Detroit is actually like I've been to the strip club and eaten
yeah.
chicken fingers.
A lot of people don't know.
You know
sometimes
what I'm saying?
You go to strip club and you eat.
I went to the strip club as just a thing to do after a family function and just went through and ordered mad platters of fried food and just stayed there until you got sleepy and then went home.
Yeah.
The strip club is a place for everybody.
Yeah. Again, just like tease up to them really infusing Atlanta into the show.
Yeah.
Like, you know, more so than just titling the show there.
Yeah, exactly. So to recap, I hope we made it clear to you that there are like some very real through lines that like connect, you know, Atlanta and Twin Peaks. Even just in the way that both shows completely subvert the viewer's ideas and expectations just around tone, plot, cinematography, and their respective locations.
Yes, yes. I think subverting expectations is spot on. Like, even when you think of the entire show premises, like with Twin Peaks, it sets you up as like I just think I'm going to get almost like a normal noir, like crime procedural, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, him just solving a crime.
Absolutely.
You know, in a new place. But then, man, the way it unspools.
Yeah.
And the way, like, new things are just stuck on top and on top and on top. Do you almost forget what was at the bottom?
Yes. Which, and you also hope that at some point, like, some things will be made clear to you. But they probably won't be.
And after a while, it's so fun that you kind of stop caring.
Yeah.
Like, in Atlanta, like, you know, I want Earn to get his life together.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily have to have Paperboy becoming, like, super famous to do that. It's perfectly within reason for them to do something that might completely throw that off.
Yeah.
Because that's also a thing that happens.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of like, that's one of the things that I like the most about the show is how much like it reminds me of real life. Like, I feel like I'm entering into a period of my life where in many ways things are higher stakes than they ever have been. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that is scary. And like you feel that same fear from Earn, where he is a father and he's trying to figure out if he's really going to be in an exclusive partnership with, you know, the mother of his child. And he's trying to kind of pick up the pieces of his life that we don't know how it fell apart, but it seems that it fell apart just the same. And like on some level, I think that like not just like narratively, but like in life, I constantly want to have all the answers. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to know how everything is going to unfold. I want to be able to sort of like see the end. I want to be able to know you know, am I going to be successful or am I not? Is this thing going to work out or is it not?
Yeah.
You know, or is someone going to tell me yes or is someone going to tell me no? And almost like I feel like an unintended benefit of Atlanta is that it's kind of teaching me just not just narrative patience with the characters, but like patience with my own shit where it's just like, you know what? You're in this weird place and this is not going to get resolved. Yeah. Anytime soon, and you just have to ride it out and see what happens.
No, totally. And there's another thing that is kind of like making me almost remember, Black people take weird ass adventures too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, there's the like ridiculousness of seeing, you know, the things that happen to Darius Earn and Paperboy. But then also it's like, okay, that can happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. like I've had days where I'm just going from point A to point B and like, I'm not sure what the fuck is going on yeah. or like what's happening in any specific place. Usually actually it happens in a night, yeah. you know, where you're like going from point A, point B.
Yeah.
But I can't remember a show where like just them going on the adventure, a Black show, mm-hmm. where just them going on the adventure is the point. Mm. You're supposed to get to know these people and go on a few adventures.
Yeah.
And that is something that is surprisingly true to life. And also surprisingly true for Atlanta.
I would agree with that. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, both shows are excellent.
Yes.
And if you haven't seen either one, I like highly suggest you just go ahead, start with like season one, episode one, and give them a shot.
Yes. Atlanta, Twin Peaks. Go watch.
Go watch. All right. So that's all we got for you today.
Yes. For Color Nerds is hosted and produced by me, Eric Eddings.
And me, Brittany Luce, with additional production help. Guidance, support coming from Bethel Hapte.
If you want to support us, there are a lot of ways.
You can give to us on Patreon. That's patreon.com/forcolorednerds.
You can also leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes.
Mm-hmm. iTunes, very specifically. Important.
Mm-hmm, gotta say mm-hmm. it like that.
Or you can buy some of our amazing merchandise,
which you can find at our website.
Yes, forcolorednerds.com.
But that's all we got.
That's all we got.
So we'll be back soon.
We'll be back soon. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.